To the CEO of Outworks, Robin Hoekstra, who joins us for a conversation around call centers. Your favorite thing. Don't you love getting that call?
Yeah.
This is an important communication or a commuter message. And you think, what? How did you get my number? So welcome to Let's Find Out, Robin. What's going on?
Thanks to you, Dave, and the team. And good morning, Belita, and good morning, listeners. Call centers. What are call centers? I think the one thing that distinguishes Outworks from a lot of the other call centers is that none of our clients are from South Africa. Every single one of our clients is international, either from the United Kingdom or the USA. And we deal with really large brands, hospitality brands, travel companies, insurance companies. And yeah, we're not one of those companies that makes these unsolicited calls to you in the middle of the night.
I'm so glad to hear that, because those things, I tell you, when you're in the middle of a conversation like this, yeah. I'll get a call from an important consumer message. It's not really.
Some of which are recorded too, and you can do nothing
terrible,
about it.
No.
But put the phone down.
Well, there it is. Block this number, and then they come with another one. But that's not your business. Let's unpack the core business of the call center, because I believe there's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
Sure. So I'm very privileged to be one of the executive directors of our national industry body. It's called BPESA, Business Process Enabling South Africa. And I'm also the chairman of the local chapter down here in KwaZulu-Natal. Part of the initiative we have as a sort of a private-public partnership with the government is to create an additional 250,000 jobs in South Africa by 2030, which should bring this industry up to about 500,000 employees in the call center industry. It's an enormous task. Faced with what the country's facing at the moment, but there are so many companies involved in this initiative, and it's a really exciting time to be involved in call centers.
Let's unpack the call center premise, because in my very limited understanding of the subject, it's a room full of people on the telephone.
Sure.
But clearly there's much more to it than that.
Well, again, a lot of the global trends have moved from outbound sales, hardcore outbound unsolicited sales, to more inbound customer service, where somebody wants some assistance. It's about retention. It's about the agent's journey. It's about the customer journey. It's about customer satisfaction scores. It's about net promoter scores. It's about trying to find a connection with the public, a connection with the person that's calling, and that very often has got a really serious problem. And it's about de-escalating the issue, and it's about trying to find a way of making this connection to make sure that the outcome of the conversation is better and sort of more convivial.
So your call center agents need to be pretty well versed in handling people that are either confused or upset or angry. I would imagine in many instances there's a situation where someone is phoning to vent, and one human being, you start with me, I'll start with you.
Listen, they need to have good listening skills. I think that's where it starts, right? They need to listen with their ears and not with their mouths. And I think for a lot of us, we're so quick to jump in and assume you know why somebody's having a conversation with you, assume you know why people are phoning in. But what you need to do is really pay attention and be intentional and deliberate and present in the conversation and really listen to the essence of what the person's trying to do and try and identify what it really is that they're looking to do.
And I'm amazed that you've got international organizations around the globe using South Africa as a call center base, because generally speaking, one has the incorrect impression, but an impression nonetheless, that South Africans are pretty damn useless on the phone. I mean, you phone any of the, you try and get through to Home Affairs, for example, if you get through, and you, or our own Guadalupe municipality, try them in terms of you've got a query or a question, urgent, and it's hello, no, and you think, what are we dealing with here? No, or just, I don't care, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And it tends to be, I suppose, one feels that if you're phoning and you get through to a really intelligent sounding person on the other side of the planet, you know, well, then at least you're dealing with someone that knows. But you get through to a South African and maybe you think, well, you're in the dealing with the wrong.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I can understand your frustration, and maybe the people who sit in
well-trained to
South
listen.
Africa. Yeah. have got that issue where they are calling in and looking for answers locally, all right? I think the difference between maybe local South African companies who are trying to emulate what the international community is doing is need to invest in more people. The one thing that the international community is really, really engaged in is making sure that people don't have to wait on the phone for too long, that when they do get through, they respect the fact that people have waited in a queue and that they try and answer that call as clearly and as efficiently as possible. Because some of the waiting times, even internationally, could be half an hour, 40 minutes,
really?
Where people are waiting. Insurance companies, travel companies, where there's potentially a need to engage, but not a critical sort of a 911 or an emergency call, okay. For instance.
I noticed that there's a trend with call centers, to the good ones, to say, listen, if you don't want to hang on, we'll call you back. Is that something that has become
ubiquitous? No, it's not a big international thing. You can do. What international companies are trying to do is to push more people online. In other words, say, look, if you don't want to hold on the queue, you can help yourself by calling into this number, by pushing one for a prompt or two or three or four, and trying to get people involved in what they call self-help. And driving people, as I say, online to actually service their own needs, whether it be through digital means on your phone, on a computer, or actually doing it via an interaction with the conversation. Besides these, what they call chatbots, digital agents, where a lot of the AI is now taking some of these, what they call high transactional, low value calls upfront, and you actually don't get through to a live person unless you really want to, and you direct the conversation to that point.
I wanted to ask you about that, because we read that AI is taking over in many sectors, and I would have thought that possibly the call center sector would have been one of those, but you're in fact employing real people, huh? Clearly, you have a mission to employ, because this is the thing. How do you go about selecting call center agents?
Well, the most important thing for us, based on the fact that we have international clients and we service English markets, is linguistic competence. So their ability to listen, their ability to speak, their ability to read and write in English is key for us. So we have digital linguistic assessment tests where people interact with a computer to assess very subjectively, or objectively, let's rather say, their skills. And we also have various written conversational composition and comprehension tests where people have to actually engage, and we score them on a digital means, so that there's no nepotism, there's no favoritism, where every single person that comes through the door has an equal opportunity to showcase their ability to speak in English. Now, in South Africa, you've got multiple languages, so it's very, very different. For us, our key focus is English capability and English competence.
And is there a particular profile in terms of age or sector? Or?
Well, between the ages of 18 and 25, there's about 62% unemployment in this country.
Yeah.
And that's really our target market, youth employment. It's just a key focus for us. And that's where the majority of our kids come from, that sort of age demographic coming in between 18 and 25. And the enthusiasm and the yearning and the desperation for employment is really, it's great to see, but it's also sad to see, right?
Right.
Where so many people have got an such an urgent need for sustainable and good employment, where they can rely on the fact that they're employed, where they don't need to be nervous that they may be let go at the end of the month because the company can't sustain itself. People are looking for the confidence and the security and the peace of actually getting a full-time job that actually can pay the rent and they can contribute to their families. Because the multiplier effect is between 7 and 10. So if I employ 400 people in Ballito, potentially 3,000 to 4,000 people per day are going to benefit from those monthly sustainable salaries.
Let's talk about the Ballito operation. It opens today, in fact.
It's actually on Wednesday.
Okay.
It's opening on Wednesday. We've already had over 2,000 applications for this Ballito operation, and we haven't opened yet. We've got people driving past, stopping, taking photographs. We're on the corner of Moffat and Stewart Drive. The one thing we're encouraging everybody to do is to send your CVs in to the address, which will be advertised during the day. It's ballito@artworks.co.za. And we're not going to take walk-ins in this first phase, because we opened in Port Elizabeth a couple of months ago, and we had over 3,000 people in the queue outside the building. We don't want people to stand in the sun or in the rain, so people need to send in their CVs, and we will get through every single person. We'll do an assessment of their CV, and we'll encourage those people to come in and engage with us.
Are you still recruiting, or have you pretty much closed that door?
Absolutely not. We're going to be recruiting over the next couple of years, actually.
Okay.
So we've not only got operations here in Ballito, but just south of us, we're actually going to be opening more premises. And we've a lot more to come for Ballito as well. So we're starting with our first building in Ballito, and we're hoping to expand and have a couple of thousand people up in the Selembe Kwadakuza area over the next year or two. So we're really excited about the prospects.
Wow. And what brought you to Bulito?
Well, again, as part of this public-private partnership with the government, we would call, let's say, Umhlanga, Durban, Cape Town, Tier 1 cities. And there's a big initiative to move to what they call Tier 2 and Tier 3, so sort of more peri-urban and rural areas. Not to say that Bulito is rural, but it was when I was younger and I was starting out in business. But we would classify Ilembe, Kwadakuza as a Tier 3 city. And Port Elizabeth is a Tier 2. So it's about sort of bringing work and bringing employment and bringing economic upliftment to the wider area. A lot of people who work for us already in Umhlanga and for a lot of the other call centers in Umhlanga actually live out here. They have to drive from Stanger, from Tongaat, from the sort of the northern regions of this area, and from Bulito. So it's about expanding out here. We also live out here in Bulito, which is really exciting for us to be part of this community and part of the growth of this community. So we're really excited to sort of build a legacy of excellence out here. Exciting stuff.
It's wonderful to hear such positive and constructive input into where we're going as a community and in terms of the local economy. Yeah. A great boost to confidence. I'm sure the Ilembe Chamber of Commerce is welcoming you with open arms.
Well, I just wanted to add, if you don't mind, Dave, just the Ilembe Town Council here and the city of Bulito have been so supportive. They really, really have been supportive. They've been embracing everything we've been doing. They've been pushing us to say, when are you starting? When are you starting? Mm. And they've been incredible. I really have to thank them for everything that they've done for us and everything they'll continue to do for us.
Well, that's good to hear, because one often hears the contrary to that sentiment, particularly when it comes around to service delivery of electricity, for example, which, yeah, I mean, let's face it, we've got issues, but it's how you deal with them. As we've been discussing in terms of the call center, when people are well-trained to handle situations, you can take any kind of situation, and it has hopefully a constructive, positive outcome. And this is good all round, and particularly good for the unemployment rate in South Africa. We've looked at that as a real issue. Lovely to hear that at least in the call center sector, things are looking up. So welcome to Bulito, Robin, you and your team at Outworks. Robin Hoekstra, the CEO of Outworks. Call center opening in Moffat Drive on Wednesday. There's opportunities still if you are a youngster looking for meaningful employment. Send your CV to Outworks, and hopefully soon you too will be contributing to the economy meaningfully. Thanks again for joining us on The Morning Show.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you having me in here.
And this will be up as a podcast shortly. If you've only just tuned in and you're wondering what we're chatting about, you can find out by catching up via our website, lifeandstyle.fm, or our apps available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And The Morning Show continues.